Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he is good. Amen. And he is good all the time. Hallelujah. You know, I love this God. I love him. This one, I know deep down in my heart, I love God. Amen. I know what he has done for me. I know where I'm coming from and where I'm going because of this God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's done me well. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope I can sing today. I don't know. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely he bore my sorrow. By his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. Thank you, Jesus. Surely he bore my sorrow. By his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. He did it for you and for me. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only begotten Son, that through his death, you and me may receive life and life much more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you all the praise. Because, Father, I so dear unto you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for what you have already done and what you're going to do. Lord, I thank you for this privilege and honor, Lord, to allow me this afternoon stand before your children. These are the people your son, Father, died for. They are worthy dying for, indeed. And Lord, I decide and choose this afternoon to decrease. I pray for your son to increase in me. As I speak to these precious souls this morning, beyond my voice, Lord, may they hear that still and gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. That, Lord, the seed will not be wasted this morning. That, Lord, this seed will abide forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, a lot has happened this morning. I'm coming here. I'm like, I need to be there and worship the Lord. But he tried to fight me. And I'm like, you're not going to win. I'll be in church this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I was coming, I was thinking, I'm like, what is the word of God for? You know, have you ever asked that question to yourself? What is the word of God for? Because I know we all read the Bible. We all listen from preachers when they are preaching. I know most of the time today with technology, each one of us, we will just switch on the radio, there is the word preaching. But what is it? That's the question. When you hear that word, why do you hear it? Is it the Bible says this word of God does many things to us? It comes to rebuke. In other words, to correct us. Amen. This word of God only do not correct us, but it comes to us to build us up. For the people that you and me can draw close to the Lord. Because he only speaks to us many times through his word. Amen. Amen. When you pick up that Bible and you start reading, the thoughts that comes into your mind are very, very important. And we'll try to expound to this morning. There are people, we read the Bible. When you are reading the word of God, instead of allowing it to apply to your own life, you are reading for somebody else. I've done that before. And I know many of us do that. You read a scripture, you're like, I wish that sister can read this. I wish that brother, you're trying to repel the word to somebody else. This is not for me, it's for that sister. I know her very well. I know that brother very well. And they need to read this or need to hear this word. You know the truth? That's not what the word of the Lord is for. The word of the Lord is for me, not for anybody else. That's the way I take it. When I'm reading the Bible, I put me there first. Before I even think about anybody else. I was coming to church. I know Pastor asked me, and thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to stand. That's your altar, okay? Yeah, no, it's yours. He gave it to you. That's where we feed from, and we're supposed to feed from you. I'm coming there. I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to only be preaching to them. I'll be preaching to me too. Last Sunday, to those who have a little bit memory, like better memory like me, when Pastor was preaching, he quoted a very important scripture to us. A scripture about the Jericho Road. How that, you know, a man was going, you know, about his own business, and he met robbers on the way. They attacked him, beat him, they left him on the way close to dying. The Bible says, the first person who was there, we heard that, and I'm not preaching that way. Who passed by was who? The priest. He was preaching, and I'm seated there. I'm like, man, no wonder judgment will start in the house of the Lord. Because we are the one the word has been preached to. Amen. We are the one who hear that word all the time. And we even stand and minister to others. We are the people. But he said, you know when? When he was passing there, who first passed by Jesus said, look, it's a priest. Priests today, they are dressed in other churches as fathers. Amen. Father of children. And when you are a priest, you have to know when you meet someone, look at them like your own children. I'm just on top there. So second, who passed by? The Levite. The Levite, first the one who passed by, just looked at him and said, man, this is bad. Why did they do this to this person? Off he went. The Levite come. And you know, Levites, when you, those are the people who serve in the house of the Lord. Amen. And in those days, they were very, very respected. Those are the people, when Jesus came, he looked at them. They were rabbis among them. I mean, rabbis among them. Scribes. Those who knew the word of God. They knew how to dissect the word of God. And they knew how to put it line upon line. That's why they were called scribes. Amen. They knew the word. There comes a Samaritan, just like me, who was considered to be a Gentile. Maybe somebody who doesn't even know the word. They've never heard someone preach to them. But you know, when they passed and they saw that person, like Pastor said, they parked whatever the cart and the donkey they were riding, start to bind the person who was wounded. And they incur a debt not on themselves, on the person that was wounded. I want for you to understand. The Bible says the judgment of the Lord will start in his own house. There is another scripture before I go to the scripture I want to go to. The Bible says, if he had not come and spoken to them, they were going to have an excuse. If Jesus had not come, the word himself, the word which is preached to us, the word we claim we live by, if he had not come, we were going to have an excuse as the house of the Lord. But because you've heard him, he came, you've seen what he had done, the Bible says you have no excuse. Remember, the judgment of the Lord will start where? God help us this morning. It's so quiet, and I like it this way. I like it. For your own, I'm not interested in cheerleaders. No. I'm coming to. You know the cheerleaders I want to cheer me? Out of witnesses. Those are the ones to cheer me. I don't even say. Because they've been there, Pastor. I'm thinking now, Pastor went also to the scripture. It was in Deuteronomy, if I'm not mistaken. Love God with all your heart. Eh? With all your being. your strength, everything within, just love this God. From there he came to John. John says what? Love your neighbor as you love. This is now when I'm going to what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about love, but in a different angle. You know, we are living in the world today, a world that is just messed up. A world, when you talk about love, they think otherwise, not the way the Bible talks about love. A world, when you talk about love, all they are thinking about, oh, it's a boyfriend bringing flowers to me and tell me that they love me. A world where they think about somebody who loves me must come give me something and say, oh, I love you. You believe that person loves you. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I don't want to use my glasses. And the Bible I have is very small. I'm going to depend on Miss Lorraine this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. The Bible reads, we are all singing, it says, let us also, therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, lay aside every weight and sin which also easily entangles us. Run with endurance the race that lies before us. Let's move on. Looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy laying before him endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's move on. For consider well him who endured so great contradiction from sinners against himself, that be not weary, fainting in your minds. Can you jump? Let's go to 6. For whom the Lord loves, that's where I want to go. Amen. For whom the Lord loves, he, KJV says, he also chastens. And he says, scourges every son whom he receives. Now the word there, it says scourges, eh? That word is the same word as punish. Whom the Lord loves, what does he do? He chastens also, or he corrects. Not only correct, he scourges too. Does love, is love mentioned there? It's there, huh? Let's go down. I'm coming to something. Please just love me, because I'm not here to give you anything but the word of God. Endure it as discipline. God is dealing with you as what? Sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? Move on. But if you are without discipline, which receive then you are illegitimate, children or not sons. That's what the Bible is saying. Now, you know, I bring this because I read somewhere also very interesting when the way they interpreted the word scourge there. Because they brought a teacher. You know what I mean? It says, you know those teachers we used to have when we were growing up. They are talking there in front of you. They say something and you answer before they ask you to answer. You know what follows? It's not like what is going on today. Today you'll be sitting in class and you are saying something. If the child doesn't like it, they'll speak back. Try to discipline them. You know what happens? The government gets involved. And you hear, oh, the teacher, because, you know, he pinched a student, they are going to jail for 10 years. So how do we are living in? They don't regard discipline. That's the world we are living in. They don't have respect for nobody. Because they believe it's a feel-good world. Whosoever loves me, they are not supposed to discipline me. Supposed to give me things. And this has affected us too, you know, as preachers. I said, I'm talking about me too. It has affected us because we don't want to bring the word of God the way it is. We want to preach to people so that we are loved. We want to preach to people looking forward to cheerleaders. If I say something, hey, preach it, pastor, do that and do that. Oh, that man of God can... No. It's the word of God is not for that. I sat down, pastor, when you were preaching last Sunday, and I'm like, my God, look the way the word is coming to us. You know, if this word is preached to you and you are feeling nothing, you have a problem. Because at times this word, when it's correcting you, it's not easy. I was looking into scripture also, Genesis. It talks about Joseph. Oh, would you just cut it? I'm sorry. Please. Joseph, and this scripture is always in my mind, Pastor. The Bible says, and the word of God tested Joseph. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. Now you know what the Bible also says about Joseph. He was beloved amongst the 12 sons of Jacob. You understand that? He was so much loved that even his own brothers became jealousy of him. That made, because he was so loved by the father, it made the brothers to hurt him. But the Bible says, look, even when God spoke to him in that dream, when God showed him that you know, your father, your mother, and all your siblings are going to bow to you one day. Do you know what? It never happened in one day. What did Joseph go through? The one who was called the beloved of the Father. Beloved of this God we always worship. And it's true, he loves us. But before Joseph went into the promises of the Lord, he went through things. And not easy things. If it is today, God promises he was going to do something for you. You know today's people, what else, and you are going through things? God doesn't love me. That's what he would say. Even that dream he gave me, I don't think it was true. If he gave me that dream and he said I was going to be somebody, why am I being thrown in this ditch? Why am I being sold into slavery? Why am I today working as a servant in Potiphar's house? Even when I'm trying to be faithful, what is happening? Why is Miss Potiphar coming to me in this way? If this God really loves me, why am I ending up in a dungeon today? Why? Look, God disciplines his own through his word. And you want to become a woman of God, a man of God, allow this word to speak to you. And remember, you're going to be tested. Who is the better person? Let me give you this example. Who is the better person to tell you that, you know, when you have an appendix, is that okay? Appendix problem, it hurts. Who's the better person to tell you? It's the person who's been through it. You understand? He's been through it. We read about Jesus. Before he even saw the joy, this is the beloved of the Lord. The Bible says, one and only begotten Son of the Lord. You know, he said he endured what? The cross for the joy that was set. Is it we call him the Word today? Not only that, the Bible says, even being a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. But you know, I don't want to be an illegitimate child. I want to be next to someone, when I'm wrong, they correct me. You understand what I'm doing? Even, you know, I want to sit before a pastor when I'm wrong. They're just going to tell me the way it is. Because I need help. I need help. At times what they're going to say to me, it will not be easy. It will hurt me. But you know, when it hurts me, I know there is a problem. I need to change. I was praying, I'm like, Lord, I no longer look to be cheered when I'm preaching. Help me to lay it the way it is. I don't want somebody to go to hell because of the gospel I gave them. All the time I stand before them, I'm talking about prosperity. It's okay to prosper. But to tell you the truth, a lot of people in church, they are going, I'm not one, I would mention that, with all their prosperity. In the name of getting rich or prosper, you know, they are doing things, if you look at them, you're like, oh, this is the church today. Some of these big men of God, mega churches, watch who they are associating with because of prosperity. One time, you know, I was listening to this man of God, and I'm not judging him. He's preaching the word of God. He says, you know what? You Christians today, you need to wise up. I'm like, yeah, we need to wise up. Yeah, that much I know. Don't be scared of these people. No matter what they are doing, as long as they are rich, go rub shoulders with them. And I'm listening, I'm like, tell me something. Send me to preach to them. Not rubbing shoulders with them. I want to preach to them. Even if they don't give me nothing, I just want to give them the word of God. And people at times, I think it would... Prosperity, I'll repeat, is okay. But if you get it the easy way, be careful so. Because this word taught me that whatever comes from the Lord is not easy. It's not something you can just wake up and it's all over you. No, no. We can go through the men of God we talk about today. You look at Moses. Before Moses became what he came, he was there. You know what? In the rich family of the Egyptians. But because of the word of the Lord, because God spoke to him, what did he do? He left the riches. He wanted to live by the word. And today the Bible says there hasn't been any meekest person in this world like Moses. The Bible, we read about the cheerleaders. Those cheerleaders, they are of the love of God. You know, they are there to encourage us. When I'm going through stuff, those, you know what they say? They are just there to encourage you. We've been there. You know that? We know you can make it. Pastor Tony, you can make it. Don't take the easy way. Hold on to the word of God. You can make it. We've been there. They are there up in the terraces of the heaven. They are in the balconies, the Bible says, of heaven, rooting for you and me, so that you do not give up on the word of God. Our Lord Jesus. They called him, you know, they called him, he contradicted a lot of people. He contradicted those rabbis. Sometimes he even called them snakes. He did that. It's not my word. He called them brutal vipers, that snakes. You sit there in your robes, working dignified up there. You profess to be when you are denying the very power that is in it. That's what is going on. But people of God, judgment will start in the house of the Lord. If he had not come and spoken to you, you are going to have an excuse. But because you've been there, you've heard the word of God, there will be no excuse. At least Pastor Tony spoke to you. Amen. At least Pastor Julius stood one day and he spoke to you the truth. And you heard it. I'm thinking, Pastor, about I'm going to the scripture he quoted about the Jericho Road. The Bible, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, the guy who went to test Jesus, the Bible says he went to Jesus testing him. Do you know that guy, the Bible calls him an expert of the word of the Lord? To me, that tells me he knew the word of God. Even when he was asking Jesus, he knew what he was asking about. Tell me who's my neighbor. You read the word of God. That's what Jesus said. You read the word of God. Why are you asking me that? You've heard who's your neighbor. The problem we have, if you are not taking anything from what I'm saying, we have the problem of doing the word of God. That's the problem we have. We've heard, but we've rejected to do what the word of the Lord is instructing us to do. This Bible, this word of God, study it. I've said this before, not for any other person. Study it for yourself. Amen. Study it for yourself. Coming to us preachers, there is another exciting verse I like from the book of Ezra. Ezra was a scribe too. But the Bible says Ezra had prepared his heart to study the law of the Lord. Listen, the first thing he had done was to study the Bible. Well, he didn't study it for anybody or for anything else. The Bible, the second thing he says, he had prepared his heart to study the law of the Lord. Do it. Even before he preached it to other people. It's Bible. It's scripture. He had prepared his heart to study the law of the Lord. Not only study it, practice the word of the Lord before he even preached it. My Lord, that's the problem we have today. King Jesus, let's do this word of God. James comes in, he's there telling us, is that what does it profit a man? Look, you hear this word, huh? Or study this word. In fact, he talks about faith. He says, faith without works is dead. And then he challenges some people and he says, look, you tell me, you say you have faith. Be with your faith. Amen. But faith without works, you know what? It's dead. This word you can hear it confess. I'm not negative. I believe in confessing the word. You can confess it. Confess it. As long as you're not taking a step to do what it's saying, it's not going to help. Amen. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. We've been through some of the things. I mean, I hear voices, pastor, coming to me. Just take a shortcut, man. Do like that brother did. Look where they are. They have everything they needed. And I'm like, no, 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 no. This word doesn't tell me to do that. They can be there, go to the best restaurants in the way they are going there. But guess what? If I'm not given by the Lord, I'll go to the cheapest one. I'll take my children to Golden Corral. Huh? Pay the cheapest. That's what God has given me. And I want to live by what God has given me. But I know at times it's not, and that's not easy, Pastor. You are there, man. 10 years as pastor, you've seen others with bigger houses. Some of them, they are not even educated than you are. But they are there. All you look at them is like, And the enemy comes, he says, you look the way he's living at large. And you've preached for this God. You've done whatever it takes to, you are still the same. They sang a song. They say, I would rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Amen. I would rather have the Lord than silver and gold. At times, now let me encourage somebody there. You may be going through stuff. I'm here standing with the cloud in the beacons of heaven. Forge ahead. Live by the word of God. Endure. Because to tell you the truth, the joy that you have after enduring will not be compared to the joy you can have failing to compete. I mean to endure. I stand with them encouraging somebody. That thing you are going through is not unto death. You put through. There have been people out there who've put through. And they are there, they say, we've been there, you're going to make it. Hold on to the word of the Lord. Hold on to the instructions of the Lord. Hold on. Just believe him. It may not be, it may take long. In fact, there's a scripture that says, tears may flow in the night. It will not end, but joy comes in the morning. You know, I look at that, you know, that we talk about seasons. Do you know, at times, you experience long nights and short days, huh? We've done that. There are times you experience long days and short nights. And in life, it's just like that. There are people out there because of what the Lord has for you in store. Your nights may look long. But I'm here, not as a preacher of doom. I'm here encouraging you because I know what the word of the Lord says. Hang on to the anchor of life. It shall be well. We sing it. It's not over until he says it's over. My Lord Jesus is worthy to be trusted. I would rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Amen. Because I know if you are enjoying the things you've worked for, you even take care of them. You understand that? There's somebody, I don't know if I heard this from Pastor, I'm going to close. They say, our hard worked money, they protect the money. You can't take it away from them because they've labored for it. The same with the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I've tried to be hard to somebody. Just love me. The Bible says, he chastens those whom he loves and scourges them who he considers to be sons and daughters. Amen. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say when I said about scourge. They gave an example. Because the other word they put there on scourge is whip. And the Bible tells me you spare the rod, you do what? That's what the Bible says. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. You fathers and mothers and young, listen. Chaperoning your child is not being, you love them. Amen. You know what I mean? When you get that, I'm not saying you beat them or whip them to death. Give them to. Yeah, Mwiko. You're not killing them, you are helping them. You know where we are today, how many Mwikos we received? A lot of it, but here we are today. At least I am here. Thank God for the miracles Mama gave me. You know what I mean? I'm not complaining, no. Because I know I did not been for miracles, you wouldn't have seen Julius preaching to you today. Don't be scared to discipline your own children in the name of love. Love disciplines too, okay? Oh, Lord Jesus. Love disciplines, Pastor. It's like love, oh, your child is messing around. I love them, you pick them up, okay. Spoil your own child. Next time they'll start to speak to you. I've seen children argue today with their own. Man, I'm like, you go ask JJ or Nathan. You ask them whenever they made a mistake. I used to chop here in the U.S. Take them in the room. If you want to go call 911. We'll see who's going to buy bread for you. Yeah, I'm not kidding them. Yeah, they are the boys. I mean, they are doing well. Because some of it is because of chaperoning, okay? We are what we are today because we know it chapers us, you know. There are times I want something and it's not giving me. It's just chaperoning you. He wants for you to be a better man. Amen. In closing, let me tell a short story. Where we argue a lot with my wife, she left. She's not here. Don't tell her. Don't say I said this, okay? You know where we argue a lot with my wife? It's on the boys. With the girls, she has no problem. On the boys, because I want to make men. You know, even when I'm talking to JJ or Nathan, they know I love them. In my heart, I want to make men. I don't want to raise sissies. No, no. When I'm talking to them, I'll lay it on the line. With the ladies, you know, we are forbidden where we come from. I was growing up, Mama is like, don't touch a woman. Don't touch every time. Don't beat up girls or women. But with the boys, I'm raising men. And you watch the way, and I'm not bragging, the way my kids are growing. This time I can't chopper them. Because they'll fight back. But I'll chopper them with my mouth. Amen, Pastor. Now I can talk. It's been long talk. That's just the way. Love also choppers. Remember, huh? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord.